Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive, our Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. I want to thank you for coming to hear a sermon. Now, there's a lot of clickbait stuff out there on the internet, on YouTube in particular, that wants you to grab a hold of some cataclysmic predicted event that's about to occur. I've seen them that said, don't go out of your house on Thursday, the something date, because of some great danger, and we seem to be more leaning toward receiving fearful predictions than we are faithful prophecies. Hallelujah. From the Word of God. Amen. This is a serious day. Don't get me wrong. There are dangers. This is a perilous time, a dangerous time. But there's a greater danger of not hearing and heeding God's Word from the Bible than there is in any of these events that are taking place around the world. Yeah, there may be some terrible thing happen somewhere, but we don't live in fear, and we're not bound to it or by it. If you're a true Christian today, instant death means instant glory. It doesn't mean the end. It means the beginning of eternity with God. So today, I'm not afraid to go out of my house, go about my business. I pray that God will cover me. But more than anything else, I see a danger of not hearing and heeding God's Word, not hearing what He's saying to us and not taking it to heart and applying it to my life. This is a very dangerous thing, to go to church, listen to a sermon, read the Bible, go to a Bible teaching, and not hear with a heart to obey. And therefore, it will do us absolutely no good. So I want to bring you a message today, heeding Christ's call to radical discipleship. What's the message for this new year that's coming up? What is God saying in this year? Amen. What new revelation do we need to hear? What new thing is He saying? I don't believe He's saying anything new. Hey, man, I know that's going to contradict a lot of people, going to rewrite their sermon if they really understand that. God is not saying a new thing, nor is He doing a new thing. He's calling us back to hear and heed what He has already said. If we will just do that, there will be some new things happen and new changes made. But it's coming back to the original and coming back to the Bible and coming back to the words in red from Jesus Christ Himself. This is where this call to radical discipleship comes from. Why are we not seeing more Christians practicing radical discipleship instead of a shallow kind of relationship where we're kind of got one foot on the world and one foot in the kingdom of God and we're trying to please everybody? Dear friend of mine, the call of Christ to follow Him has not changed. We're going to reiterate it this morning. And the challenge to you and to me and to us as Christians, if you're really a Christian, is to give heed to it. Heeding Christ's call to radical discipleship. Amen. Listen, the Bible says that we should give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. And that word slip, if it was in the nautical sense, you know what it means? It means a ship is loaded and destined for a destination to unload. But instead of coming into port to unload its cargo, it passes by carelessly. That's what the word slip means. Don't let it pass by you carelessly. Take it to heart. Have a heart, therefore, to obey what God is saying to us by His Word and by His Spirit. What we need to hear today is not a new sermon to bring an emotional lift for a little season as we go into a new year and make New Year's resolutions. Dear friend of mine, what we need today is to hear and to heed what He has already said to us, to get seriously committed to following Jesus to this degree that we might begin to become obedient to the word that He's already spoken unto us. Hallelujah. How about let's forgive our enemies this coming year? How about let's make it a commitment to obey what He's already told us to do so we can get some prayers answered? What a radical thought that we would actually put into practice what he has declared unto us and commanded us to do. Amen. To pray for them that despitefully use you, not spite them back. Amen. He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You follow me and I'll take care of those who persecute you. You don't have to do that and you're not qualified to do that. Listen carefully. He's called us to the witness stand. Not that we don't judge right from wrong. We clearly have a Bible to help us do that and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. But to judge people and to ask God to hurt them or harm them when that's not our place. We're not called to the judgment seat in that respect. We're called to the witness stand. Glory to God. To bear witness to the great and gracious kingdom of our God and turn them over to Him. Hallelujah. You know what the disciples did when they went with Christ on this evangelistic effort to different cities and they were wholesale rejected? You know, they got upset about it. And they said, Lord, why don't you call fire down out of heaven and just consume them? And He immediately rebuffed and rebuked them and said, listen, you don't know what spirit you're of. Amen. I didn't come to condemn the world. Listen, He came because the world was condemned, is condemned, and is still condemned and needs a Savior. Praise God. I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to seek and I came to save that is lost. He's still about His Father's business today. And it's high time that the church got about our Father's business to seek and to save the lost. Praise God. And it's time that every child of God got about our Father's business. And that is to have a testimony and a witness that will witness to the world, amen, the great news, the gospel of grace, the gospel of the grace of God through Jesus Christ, that we may be saved and represent to them a different kingdom because we bow and serve to a different King. Praise God. Hallelujah. That they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. I'm not talking about serving in a soup line. That's a good work. I'm not talking about philanthropy. If you're rich, just giving away tons of money. I'm talking about radically following Jesus Christ. Amen. Be a follower of Jesus and you'll be a radical person. You'll be an agent of God, an ambassador of Jesus. Amen. In this present evil world. This call to radical discipleship from the words of our Sovereign and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is in all four of the Gospels. I'm going to read it from Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Listen to it carefully. It's also in Mark, Luke, and John. Listen. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What a radical thing to say in a self-indulgent, hedonistic, amen, narcissistic culture. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Say no to sin and to self and to Satan. Take up your cross. Literally to crucify the flesh with the lust thereof, to reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive indeed unto God, to actually glory in the cross, amen, to boast in the cross, whereby, as Paul put it, if I will glory, I'm going to glory in the cross, whereby I am crucified to this world, and this world is crucified unto me. Listen, friend, the call to deny self, take up your cross and follow me. Deny self means to die to worldly desires and completely surrender to Jesus' rule and Jesus' will, literally his lordship. You know, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question that he is Lord of the universe, Lord of all. But is he Lord of you? Is he Lord of me? Is he my Lord? Is he your Lord? That means master, the one who we bow to, the one who we listen to, who we give heed to, who we seek to follow through self-denying, taking up our cross in order to follow him, his example. Praise God. Amen. Listen, this is not the message of the self-indulgent church. That makes accommodations for the lust of the flesh and of the eyes and the pride of life. Jeez, the Bible teaches that's all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is of the world. Amen. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, there are churches right in our world today claiming to be disciples of Jesus that are teaching a man-centered message instead of a God-centered message. Amen. Their philosophy of ministry is to tell people that God wants more interested in making you happy than making you holy. I want to submit to you today, if God can't make you holy as a Christian, you'll never be happy. No matter how many things you accumulate, no matter how many blessings you claim, you'll never be happy unless you let God make you holy. If he can't separate you, detach you, amen, from this present evil world, you're going to find yourself vexed by the conversation of the wicked. I'm not talking about just the words, they're bad enough, but the behavior, the lifestyle of the wicked all around you. That's what was happening to Lot in Sodom. It said every single day his heart was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked that he was exposed himself to by moving into Sodom. You know what brought him to Sodom? Materialism. Amen. He saw that Sodom, the area around it agriculturally, he said it was like Eden. It must have been like Eden before the fall. He said, if I move toward that city, amen, and I begin to find industry there that will profit me materially, I'm going to be a rich and wealthy man. And it said he looked toward Sodom. And then he moved out just outside the gates of Sodom. He moved towards Sodom, and eventually he moved into Sodom. Sound familiar? This ploy of the devil? He took Jesus to a high place and showed him the kingdoms of this world and said, if you will worship me, it's within my power to give you those kingdoms. But Jesus came, amen, to present and to represent a different kingdom. And he wouldn't bow his knee to the devil for the kingdoms of this world. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what Jesus is asking. What this radical call to discipleship is a call to help us overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Praise God. Oh, dear friend of mine, God wants you to be happy, but he wants you to be happy because you allow him to make you holy. When he called you, this radical call in the new covenant, come out from among them. Amen. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. How do you come out from among them? Just follow him. And I guarantee you, you'll come out from among them. That means the world and even phony Christians that you may be affiliating with and running with. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. And listen, how do you do that? Touch not the unclean thing. Touch not that you know is not pleasing to God, that has been tarnished by the things of this world, the lust of the eyes, the flesh, the pride of life. Amen. Listen, you can't serve two masters. Jesus said it. You will love one and hate the other, hate one and love the other. You have to get off the fence, dear child of God, today. Amen. If you're a true Christian, it's time to truly follow Jesus. And the first step and prerequisite to be his disciple and therefore his follower, following his example, is to deny yourself. You'll never take up your cross in order to follow unless you deny yourself and die to worldly desires and completely surrender to Jesus' will and his lordship. Amen. That removes the tension between our will to do our thing and go our way instead of following his will, amen, to bring us into that path of righteousness where we can go his way. When that tension is removed, there's a peace that comes in, the peace of full surrender to the lordship of Jesus will give us also the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a peace in this and there's a power in this because we overcome the world and its pressure to compromise and conform to it. We overcome the weakness of our own flesh and we overcome the wickedness of the evil one, the tempter. Praise God. And we begin to walk in a victory whereby we are crucified to the world because we take up our cross. Hallelujah. And the world thereby is crucified unto us. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I, as it is written, I will walk in them and I will live in them. That word walk is perambulate, and it means to move about freely. Praise God. He has permission to work his will and weave his will into the fabric of our life and the fabric of our heart. Hallelujah. Amen. To fulfill the scripture, it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What we can't do and wouldn't even desire initially to do. Now we have both the desire and the design, and we have the designer himself bringing it to pass through the power and person of the Holy Spirit. But in order to give him that kind of permission, that kind of access to us, to our life, involves committing ourselves to follow the example of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to follow Him. Amen. To be ye imitators of God, Ephesians 5 says. Be followers of God, literally imitators of God. Amen. Be ye imitators of God and walk in love even as Christ. How can we follow God who is a spirit who we can't see? We follow Jesus who we can see, who said, I and my Father are one. The words I speak are not my own, but what I hear my Father say. And the works I do are not my own. Amen. What I see my Father do. That's why when we've heard Him and seen Him, we've heard and seen the Father. And we can be followers of God as we walk in love, even as Christ. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ the Lord, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, but He humbled Himself and took on Himself the form of a servant and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. Hallelujah. Therefore, God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that is named of things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. The question isn't today that we're being challenged, is He Lord? The question is He my Lord? Is He your Lord today? Are we committed to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ today? Listen, the Bible said in Galatians 1 and verse 4, speaking of Jesus, it said, who gave Himself for our sins, literally for the atonement, to atone for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Listen, He came to deliver us from it, not to make us conform to it. Listen, Jesus came to save our soul. Yes, He did. By grace you are saved. But there is something that occurs when we truly are born again. The Bible said spiritually, we are translated out of the powers of darkness, this present evil world, ruled by darkness and the prince of darkness himself. We've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Glory to God. He gave Himself for us, not that we remain in the world and of the world and under the control and influence of the evil one. Oh, friend of mine, He gave Himself that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be delivered from this present evil world. Praise God. Amen. You know what we're seeing today in the church world? We're seeing Laodicea replicated. The church of Laodicea, where Jesus came to the church of Laodicea, the seventh church in the region, in the area and region of Asia that lay in a semicircle. The seventh letter was written to the church of Laodicea. Some Bible scholars believe that's talking about the last day church that would be existing on planet earth before the coming of Jesus Christ. And it was the richest church in Asia. It was materialistic, hedonistic, narcissistic, all the things that's descriptive of a world under the influence of the evil one. Hedonism, you know what that means? Hedonism means that the greatest goal of life for a human being is to get all of the pleasure that you can in every way that you can. That means to indulge yourself with every kind of thing that satisfy the wildest desires of your flesh. It means literally being given over to self and through that to sin and to Satan's influence. Oh, friend of mine, today how we need to come out from among them and be separated unto Him. That's what sanctification is. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. Praise God. Oh, friend, this is the challenge today. Jesus knocked at the door of the church of Laodicea, said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and him with me." Thou sayest. Now first, it's a lukewarm church. He said, "I would that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will reject you, spit you out," literally to vomit you out. Listen, thou sayest, here's their testimony. And they are big and growing and they are rich and wealthy with materialism. Listen carefully. Thou sayest, "I am rich." This is their testimony. "I am rich, increased with goods," materialism, listen, "and have need of nothing." But he said, "I say unto you," this is my assessment of what you say is God's blessing. Look how He's blessed us. Look how we've grown. Look at our stonework, our steeple, our stained glass. Look at our coffers. Look at our bank account. Look at the millions that are coming in our budget. Look at the pastor's compound. Look at his mansion. Look at his vehicle that he's driving. Look at the wealth he's accumulated. Oh, friend of mine. He said, "Thou sayest, you hear it echoed today? I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing." But he said, "I say unto you, you're poor. You're poor spiritually. You're bankrupt spiritually. You're miserable. You're blind. And you're naked while wearing..." Now, he didn't say this. I'm adding this. Stay with me. "You're wearing an Armani suit. You're wearing a, you're driving this vehicle that says, 'I have arrived.' You're now running with the rich and famous." Oh, friend of mine, he said, "You're blind. You're spiritually blinded. You're miserable. You're in a miserable spiritual state, spiritually bankrupt, and you're naked. And I counsel you, buy of me the true riches, gold tried in the fire." What is that? It's a faith. It's a faith that is represented by fidelity, a faithful commitment to follow Jesus no matter what. That's what he's talking about. Because the trying of your faith and the proving of your faith through keeping your commitment in spite of the temptation and the test to be faithful unto Christ in following Him. The trying of your faith, hallelujah, which is more precious than what? Gold tried in the fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Why is it more precious than the physical gold that can buy its riches? Because you become rich in your relationship with God. You become a Christian who doesn't look back like Lot's wife. When God delivers you from the city of destruction, you keep going forward and you don't look back. You don't long for the sins of the past, and you don't turn around and go back. Oh, friend of mine, he's calling us to a place of uncompromised commitment to follow Jesus, that he might keep us from looking back, even thinking about going back, backsliding, instead of going forward. We need to get the Apostle Paul's attitude, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press We're going against the grain, against the culture, against our flesh, against the world views and values, amen, against phony Christianity, and we're forgetting those things that are in the past and reaching forth to the things that are before. I press, strain forward in the Greek. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Honey, we need to press on today. Don't look back. Oh, don't think about and dare not go back. The coming of the Lord is near, and He's coming for a church that is faithful to Him. He's coming for Christians who are following Him. True Christians have a desire to follow Jesus. Will we fall down and have to get back up? I would imagine you will. I have. When they say fall down, there's been no big revelation of Brother Venable's falling down. I haven't fallen away. I'm faithful to my wife. I'm seeking to be faithful to my calling. Am I sinlessly perfect? No. Do I have to ask God's forgiveness for things? Yes, I do. I'm not sinlessly perfect, but I am perfectly committed to follow my Master. And my Master is no longer the devil. And my Master is no longer my flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. My Master is Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to be more like Him. Amen. By loving Him more deeply. And the love for Him getting deeper and deeper as I get to know Him better and better. Amen. Oh, dear friend of mine, there is a love that will hold us steady. There is a love for God that supersedes the love of the world and the love of self. Praise God. And it will hold us steady. And we love Him with reciprocal love. We love Him because it's stimulated. Because He first loved us. Praise God. Do you love Him more than you love the world? Do you love Him more than you love yourself? So that you can deny yourself. Take up your cross. Whatever that means, whatever repercussions that brings, that means to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, the eyes, the flesh, the pride of life, and follow His example. Praise God, who took up His cross in our behalf and said, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, dear Christian, today, this is the call. This is the call. It's not new. It's not, but it is revolutionary. It's radical. It means let's begin to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've already heard. This is not a new revelation. This is that is standing, that has not changed. The church has changed, but Christ's challenge to us to follow Him stands today as strong as it ever stood, and it will never change because our God is the Lord God of Israel. Thank God He changes not. Praise the Lord. How about it today? How about it today? Let's deny ourselves. Let's take up our cross and let's follow Jesus and let's be part of what God is doing today, calling a people out of the world under the rule of Satan, the god of this world, little g. I call him little g. Amen. The only reason He even holds this godlike stature is because the world follows Him. And now, radically worships Him. Satanism is no longer a shame. It is put forward in music presentations, in movies. It's cool. to follow the devil and his crowd. It's radically different to follow Christ and become his disciple. And today, if you don't know Jesus, the Bible said that you're without God and without hope in the world. This present evil world now holds you in a prison of darkness. Change of habits and darkness blinds your eyes to the truth of your lost condition, your desperate need for a Savior and salvation who will deliver you, dear friend, if you will come just as you are. Repent of your sin. Receive Jesus as your Savior. He will forgive your sins through His atoning sacrifice. And He will deliver you from this present evil world. Translate you out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son under His rule. Come to Jesus.